On this Mother's Day, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you. Diane and I went over and visited with my mother earlier last week, and she sends her greetings to those of you who know her, and so many of you ask about her regularly, and she is doing quite well, and so just want you to know that she is. As we think about Mother's Day, I ran across this saying. It says, life begins with waking up and loving my mother's face. Somebody named George Eliot said that. I thought it was sort of good, so I put it up there just so you could see it. As we think about mothers, and obviously, as you know and can imagine, Diane's mother certainly is on her mind. Some of you have heard me tell this before, but my first encounter with her was not so good. I had met her, and then after I had met her, Diane had broken up with a guy she was engaged to, which Granny really liked him a whole lot, and informed Granny that she was going to marry me. And her comment was, well, if you do, he's not ever welcome to come to my house. And I don't really know why. I don't know if it was the maroon pants or the pink shirt. This was in the 60s when neckties were about this wide and I had one about that wide that was flowered. Or it may have been the ducktail. I don't know. Whatever it was, though, she didn't like me. Well, Diane's daddy informed her that this was her decision and that Granny couldn't make it for her and that she's going to have to learn to live with it. And she did. And we became very, very close. But there's a lesson in that. Jesus said that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they become one flesh. And in order for that to happen properly, mothers, fathers too, mother-in-laws and father-in-laws have to turn loose. And that's not easy. It's not easy as I watch my son grow up and he begins to form his own life, and I've always told him what to do and how to do it, to quit telling him how to do it and what to do. Because I still care as much now as I did when he was Jacob's age, or younger, or older. Because he's my son. And it is difficult for us to turn loose and allow them to be their own people and make their own decisions. Diane has an acquaintance whose daughter is about to have her very first child. And she was telling her mother what she was going to name the child. And the mother didn't like it. And she said, that's not a good name. And she said, Mom, it's my baby. I'll name it what I want to. Well, sometimes you have to just sort of give them a rude awakening and mothers, you have to back off. And sometimes it is difficult for us to do that. And yet, that is a necessary part of growing up and allowing our children to grow up. That has nothing to do with my lesson today. That's free for charge. Didn't cost you a thing. We're going to talk about a godly mother. From the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, beginning there in verse 10, we'll read a couple of verses and then drop down just for the sake of time and not read the entire latter part of that chapter. But the wise man says, an excellent wife, or some translations say a virtuous wife or a virtuous woman. It is probably a woman of virtue is probably a more literal translation. Who can find? For her worth or her price is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then dropping down to verse 25 of the same chapter, strength and dignity are her clothing and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. charm and is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates. As I read this passage of Scripture, I see here several things, but one of the things that I see is I think about what makes a godly mother is not having children. That's not necessarily what makes a woman a godly mother. It's not even being a wife. That's not really what makes a person godly. What makes a godly mother is the same thing that makes a godly wife. It's the same thing that makes a godly person. It is the heart of the woman and being a godly person. And while most women would like to have children, the fact is there are many women who are excellent people, good people, who have had tremendous influence, done lots of good for the Lord and His cause, and have helped lots of people through life that have never even been married and never had any children. Being a mother is not a prerequisite to being a good person or a full person or living a productive life. And so we need to understand that, first of all. But a godly mother is one who respects the Lord. She fears the Lord. And she respects His ways and His Word and is willing to do whatever God says because God said it. In Proverbs 31 and verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Our society puts so much emphasis on the outward appearance. It's all about how beautiful a person is or what kind of charisma or charm that person may have. But charm fades and beauty deteriorates. And the fact is that those are not things that really matter, but it is a woman who fears the Lord that really matters. And so that's what's important. She respects God. She respects His ways. She respects His Word. It is this respect for God that causes her then to live for Him because she loves Him. She loves God and she wants to do what pleases Him. But because she loves God and she respects God, she loves her husband and she respects her husband. And she wants to do what pleases her husband. Going back to Proverbs 31, verses 11 and 12, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So here is a woman that is determined to do what is best for her husband, no matter what the situation, no matter what the case. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. What that tells us is that she is a respectable person. Because a man, in order to be able to sit in the gates, would have to be one of those that was respected. And she has respect for him, and she builds his respect among other people. She lives the kind of life that leads to respect for her husband. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, he says, "Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself." And this is the conclusion of Paul's discussion on husband and wife. And he says, each one of you must love his wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Now, sometimes husbands don't act respectable. Diane and I were in a restaurant yesterday as we were coming back home, and behind me was one of the managers of the restaurant, and he had one of his employees sitting there in the booth with him, and I couldn't help but overhear a little bit of what he was telling him. And one of the things that he said to him was, he said, "If you're going to work here, you respect the position whether you like the person or not." And he said, "Because he is in the position he is in, you have to show respect to him." And then when he got through saying that, he said, "Now, is that crystal clear?" Guy said, "Yes." He said, "Then go back to work." You see, it may be that whoever it was that this guy was having a problem with wasn't really acting respectable. Manager was saying that's beside the point. He is in a position of authority and you show respect. It is God who has established the authority of the husband and it is the wife's responsibility to show respect. And so he says, husbands, you love your wife as you love yourself. And then that goes a long, long, long way toward gaining the respect of the wife. But if you will do that, then wives, you show respect to your husband. Now, since she has respect for her husband, then she'll do all in her power to help him to serve the Lord. This is why it is important that an elder's wife is who she is, because that he has a wife and that she is a godly woman and so on. Because it is the elder's wife who helps the elder to be able to do what he does. There are many, many ways that Diane helps me to be able to fulfill the responsibilities that I fulfill in the position as the preacher here. And if a woman really cares about her husband, then she's going to do everything she can to help him do the best he can in serving God. And if she's not a Christian, then she's going to do the best she can to help him see the way so that he will come to the Lord and he will want to serve her. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Nagging does not work. What you do is you pray for them and you show them. When Diane's mother got married, she was almost 15. Just a few days away from being 15. And remember, it was a different time, different era, and so on. But after she was about 17, there's some kids came along, and so after the kids got a little bit older, the older ones can remember that they could always tell if Daddy was drunk when he came home, because if he was drunk, they could hear him singing as he was riding on the wagon coming down the road. He wasn't singing, he was sober. He wasn't the best example for that family. In many ways, he didn't deserve respect that should have been given to him. But you know what? With the patience and the right example and a lot of prayer, he became a Christian and served as an elder in the Lord's church. You see, setting the right example means an awful lot. And so a godly woman respects her husband and she shows him how to live for the Lord and helps him to do that. And she loves her children. She teaches them the way of the Lord. Diane's mother had 7 children. One of them is deceased. The other 6 are faithful to the Lord today. 2 of the girls married preachers. Diane didn't marry a preacher and she had no idea she was going to end up. But it didn't surprise her anymore and didn't me, because I sure didn't have any plans to be a preacher when we got married. But you see, we teach our children. And in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul makes a statement there that just it speaks volumes about these two women. He says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it's in you as well. How many people there are today who are faithful Christians because of godly mothers? There's no way to know. And mothers, you have such a responsibility as you teach them, as you show them the way of the Lord. It means sometimes you have to say no. And it means sometimes that they don't get their way and they have to do things that they don't like. I can remember, and I'm sure some of you did, and I know I did the same thing, but But Diane said that when she was a teenager, there were times that she told her mom, she said, "I hate you." You know why? Because she wasn't getting her way. There were times that I thought my daddy was crazy and just trying to be mean. But you see, godly parents have to tell their children no at times and have to teach them responsibility and show them by discipline that there are consequences to their actions. And when we fail to do that for our children, we are not showing them we love them. We're showing them that we don't care how they end up. And so whether we be parents or grandparents, we need to take that sincere faith that we must have and share it with our children and share it with our grandchildren and show them how to serve the Lord. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, he says there in verse 1, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Verse 4 is directed more toward the fathers, but it includes mothers in an indirect way, I believe. It says, "Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The word discipline may involve punishment, but it is more the idea of training and molding and showing them the correct way to go. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, he says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. How shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it," and there's that training I was talking about, "those who have been trained by this discipline, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." And so discipline is absolutely necessary in the raising of children. A godly mother is one who is industrious and not lazy. In Proverbs 31 and verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Verses 24 through 27, she makes linen garments and sells them, supplies belts to the tradesmen, strength and dignity are clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Up until about 5 years ago, Granny would go to the garden and pick peas. She had no business being in the garden picking peas at 95 years old. But you couldn't tell her no. And as late as last summer, we bought green beans and she sat there in the chair and broke almost a bushel of green beans for us. Because she loved working with her hands. She wanted to be doing something worthwhile. She was not lazy. And that's the way a good mother is going to be. She's not going to be lazy. She's going to be industrious. She's not going to be selfish with her gain. But she uses it to help those in need. In Proverbs 31 and verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. And so she's not selfish, but rather she practices hospitality and has people into her home. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is in the city of Philippi. And on the Sabbath day, he says, "We went out to the gate to a riverside where we were supposing there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Here is a godly woman who opened up her house to those that needed lodging. In Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "Be hospitable one another without complaint." And that's important. Without complaint. "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Some of you have commented over the years about how many times we've had people in our homes, and we have had a lot of people come and go and visit our home and eat with us and so on. And part of the reason for that is because the way I grew up, Mother and Daddy just opened up our house to anybody, so I never knew who was there when I came home in the afternoon. Literally. I mean, I never knew. I'd get up to eat breakfast and there'd be some guy I didn't even know who he was sitting there eating breakfast with us. And that's the way it was around our house. Diane was raised with 7 children, and she said the other day that she could not remember in her lifetime at home a gospel meeting at church that they did not feed the preacher. Her house was always open to people. And I couldn't tell you the number of people that I've talked with over the years that tell me about eating at their house. You see, hospitality says, I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to worry about just me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up my home and I'm going to share what I have and what God has blessed me with other people. God wants each one of us, whether man or woman, married or unmarried, whether we're parents or don't have any children. He wants us to love Him and live for Him. He wants us to do what's right. I need to tell you just something else, though, about Granny Grab. She had a side to her that some of you never saw. She could be a little bit mischievous at times. Johnny Robinson and Wanda were at the house one night eating with us, and Johnny always took his shoes off when he came in the house. First thing he did is took his shoes off, and when he got ready to go home later that night, he started to put his shoes on. He couldn't get his foot in his shoe, and he reached down there, and Granny had stuffed him full of toilet paper. Our nephew, her grandson, got married. He got to the motel that night, and when he opened up his suitcase, she had taken every one of his underwear and sewed up every hole in it, including the legs. She did stuff like that, and she enjoyed life. She had a good time doing that. But sometimes it came back to her because she taught her children to be that way, and she was deathly afraid of snakes. And Wayne, who is now deceased, was Diane's brother, just older than her, and he came in one day, and he had a stick, and she was in the kitchen, and he threw it right between her legs and hollered, "Snake." She had a bowl of butter in her hand that stuck to the ceiling. You see, she loved people. And she loved being around people, whether they were old or middle-aged or young. And that's what made her a good mother. That's what made her a good granny. That's what made her a good mother-in-law. And I say these things not so much to extol her virtues, because she had her faults, she had her problems. She wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but she was forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason I say these things, two reasons. One, because it is fresh on my mind and I just feel like it needs to be said. But the other is because sometimes it's easier to understand what God wants when we see the example of it than it is to try to read it and figure it out for ourselves. And as mothers and as grandmothers and as mother-in-laws and great-grandmothers and, in Granny's case, great-great-grandmother, show people how to live for God. And you will be praised by those who know you and those who love you. God wants us to use everything He's given us to His glory. And it doesn't matter whether it's the ability to lead singing or the ability to preach or the ability to lead a prayer publicly or if it's the ability to be a godly mother and raise our children to serve Him or if it's showing hospitality or if it's giving the right example for somebody. Whatever it is that God has given us the grace to do, it is our place to do it. And so we serve God as we serve others. This morning, have you given your heart and your life to God? If you have not, then you need to understand that there is no hope for you when this life is over. But if you will come to Jesus, give Him your heart and give Him your life. He will forgive you of your sin. And you can have the promise of heaven, of eternal life when this life is over. If you're subject to His invitation, you need to come and confess your faith in Jesus. Turn away from sin and repentance and be baptized in Christ. If you're here and you're not a Christian, why not come this morning as we stand and sing?